In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Fathers, especially Father Kem, dear faithful, I want to tell you an amazing story, an amazing but true story. And it's a story that you know very well, that 2,000 years ago, there was a Jewish man who claimed to be God, and he gathered around himself 12 unlearned fishermen, and he instructed them, and he gave them a mission. He said, go. Conquer the world, convert the world. And they took this mission very seriously because he said that the eternal life or the eternal death of everybody who's born into this world depended upon the accomplishment of that mission. And as you know, the 12 apostles went out. They scattered to the four cardinal points of the globe. They went to the nations and they successfully converted many, many people. And the spreading of the gospel was so great that after 1,000 years, the church had taken over the Roman Empire, what was the Roman Empire, and it established the greatest civilization the world has ever known, what we call Christendom. The reason why they went out with such urgency, why they were so anxious to accomplish this labor, is because, as I say, they understood that the eternal life and the eternal death of all human beings depends upon this message of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Korea, where Father Kim was born, they were not blessed to receive the gospel until many, many centuries. You know that Catholic Europe did not even know about the existence of North America, where we are now, South America, Asia, until the voyages of Columbus and Magellan. Magellan was the first one to circumnavigate the globe, and he did that in the 1500s. And as soon as the Catholics in Europe, they understood that the globe was much, much bigger than they realized, immediately they said, we need to spread the gospel. We need to give these people the faith. If they don't have the faith, if they don't have the faith, they're losing their souls. They're lost. So there were many generous young men, young women who stepped forward, gave themselves to the religious vocation, the priesthood, traveled around the world to spread the faith. South Korea is rather unique in the spreading of the faith because the faith was actually first brought to South Korea by a layman. And from there, the missionary efforts continue. And today, South Korea has a percentage, 11% of the population of South Korea is Catholic because of the efforts of these missionaries. You know that one of the marks of the Catholic faith is Catholic, that our Lord wanted the faith to spread to all nations, and we anticipate that the true faith is capable of spreading to all nations because it comes from God. If the faith is truly from God, then people from around the world will find that it truly fulfills their aspirations as human beings. It truly corresponds to what God has made them. God has made us for a supernatural goal. He's made us for heaven. And so if God institutes a religion, it's only going to be that one religion that is going to correspond to what God has made. And therefore, the mark, one of the marks of the true religion is that it will spread around the world. In other words, it will be Catholic, the word Catholic meaning universal. Today we have the great feast of the athlete of Christ, St. Paul. St. Paul, among all the apostles, seemed to have the most burning desire to spread this faith, called specially by our Lord. As one born out of due time, he would speak about this great desire that he had. He said, the charity of Christ urges us. He said, woe be it to me if I do not preach the gospel. He had this great fire that caused him to basically spend himself traveling incessantly, going through many labors and difficulties that you read about in 2 Corinthians in order to bring people to Christ. This work, this great work, of converting souls to the Catholic faith is really, my dear faithful, it is, in fact, the most important work that takes place on this planet. There is nothing more important than the work of saving souls. You think about what people talk about, what interests them, but how in the perspective of eternity, these things that so occupy us now are really not very important. We forget about them so easily. Everybody's kind of focused on the presidential race right now, but how many of us can say who are the presidents for the last 30 years or the last 50 years? We've already forgotten who those people were. Or who can say who won the World Series 10 years ago when it was October of 2014? Probably a lot of people were focused on the World Series and figure out who's going to win. Then we forget about it. We think about what are we going to be talking about for all eternity? We're going to live forever. God willing, in heaven, what are we going to be talking about? I don't think we're going to be talking about these things. I don't think it's going to matter to us much for all eternity. Who won the World Series in 2014? I think it will matter very, very much who saved their soul and who did not save their soul. This work, saving souls, is so important. So this is what has often motivated young men and young women, as I say, to give themselves, to give their lives for this effort. We live in a world that's very indifferent to this. It's very indifferent to the salvation of souls. We live in a world that's become very cold to the spiritual interests of man, to the supernatural interests of man. Even in the Catholic Church, as you know, the missionary spirit is dead. It's like Archbishop Lefebvre predicted at the Second Vatican Council, which was so imbued with this one thing that completely destroys the appetite for saving souls, which is ecumenism. This idea that really it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do, and it doesn't matter what religion you belong to. It's all good. God's super nice. There's no way he's going to send you to hell. You can do what you want. Just kind of play lip service to God, and you will save your soul. That's the two things that the world is saying to us, even to some degree the church is saying to us today, that your salvation really doesn't matter that much, firstly. Or secondly, if it does matter, it's really easy. It's really easy to save your soul. So you don't really have to strive hard to save your soul. Whereas we know that our Lord in the gospel says, narrow is the way. Few there are who find it. Few people save their soul. Not many people save their soul. That's why we have to give ourselves. We have to give ourselves for this work. This is why it's such a joy for us and a grace to have a first mass of a new priest, especially a new priest such as Father Kim, from South Korea, the first native Korean priest for the SSPX. It's a reminder to us that we belong to the Catholic Church, that our church is truly universal, our religion is truly universal. The faith that Father Kim professes and practices is the same faith that we practice, is the same faith that the Catholics in Mexico or South America or India, whatever, practice. This faith is found around the world because it comes from God. Archbishop Lefebvre once said that a sign of whether the SSPX is from God or not would be whether the traditional movement effectively could spread around the world, whether people around the world would want to embrace the traditional movement, because that would be a sign that, okay, the faith that we're practicing is precisely the same faith that came from God, that God has established. So, yes, when we say traditional Catholicism is not exactly thriving in South Korea, but you know, Father Kim will be traveling there shortly, and there's going to be a meeting of the traditional Catholic priests in Korea. It exists. Traditional Catholicism certainly exists in South Korea. Father Kim is one of the fruits of that. Another reason why Father Kim's first Mass is a joy for us is it just reminds us of how important our Catholic faith is and how important our salvation is. When you see someone putting forth a lot of effort to purchase this pearl of great price, the priesthood, to become a priest, to give his life for the priesthood, it's a reminder that, well, yes, this is very important. It's a very important thing to have priests. Father Kim had a more difficult, above average difficulty in pursuing the priesthood. It took 9 years for Father Kim to become a priest. He was not born in tradition, and he had to find tradition, first of all, even before pursuing his vocation. But then when it came time to enter the seminary and start the road, it was laborious. It was difficult. You think about the vocations that we have from our parish, the vocations that we're blessed to have in our parish. If someone wants to become a nun or they want to become a priest, they're like, okay, well, I talk to Father, I fill out my application, I send it to Virginia, I visit the place, and then I go to the seminary. I just go to Virginia in the fall, and I start my formation, right? It's very straightforward, and then when it's time for vacation time, I just come home. That's the way it is. It's a pretty simple process, very straightforward process. But Father Kim, when he decided he wanted to become a priest, he was told, well, look, here's the process. First of all, the seminary is in Australia. You're going to have to go to Australia. You're going to have to live there. And before you go to Australia, you're going to have to go to the Philippines because there's a pre-seminary. You go to the Philippines. He had to go to the Philippines for 14 months to do pre-seminary. And then he said, you're going to have to go to Australia and spend 7 years formation. So you're going to have to leave your family. You're going to have to leave your country. You're going to have to live in at least two other countries. And if they had some sort of clairvoyance they would see in the future, they would have told him, by the way, there's another thing we have to tell you. There's going to be this flu that's going to go around, a new flu that people are going to way overreact to, and it's going to cause the seminary in Australia to shut down. And when that happens, you're going to have to go to a third continent. You have to go to the United States of America and finish your formation there in the USA. So the path to the priesthood that Father Kim had to follow required a lot more detachment than is usually required of a seminarian, because he had to do it in three different countries, on three different continents, very far away from home. And on the day of his ordination, there was only one of his family members was able to be present. His sister, who is a nun with the Society of St. Pius X, was able to be there, but none of the rest of his family. He sort of had truly left all in order to become a priest, because it's really important to save souls. It's really an important work. Father Kim was a Mass teacher. We can think about, you know, the talents that God gives us and what you want to do with your life. Father Kim was a math teacher before pursuing his vocation. Probably would have, you know, successful career as a math teacher. He gave that up. So, as I say, the reason reason that why you kept going, Father, was because you wanted to save souls. And when parents think, they look at their children and they think about what is my child going to become, and often parents dream about, well, maybe my child will be really good in sports, or maybe they'll be really successful in business, or maybe they will make a name for themselves. Maybe they will become famous. But as I say, I mean, the greatest thing that can happen is that your child makes an impact for eternity. That when we're all left this life behind and all these petty things are gone, and we're sitting there in eternity, we are able to say, well, this or that person saved souls. They had an eternal effect by what they did in their life. So now, Father Kim, at last, finally, you are a priest. After all this perseverance, you're going to go out into the world and fulfill that mission that our Lord gave us, convert all nations. You're going to write sort of your own chapter in this amazing story that is ongoing of the spread of the faith and the salvation of souls. You're going to another foreign country, but one that you've been to before. His father is going to be an apostle to the Filipinos. He's going to the Philippines. And you're going to finally start your work, this most important work in the vineyard of our Lord to save souls. So you're going to do it by celebrating Mass, by hearing confessions, by baptizing, by marrying, by burying. You can do an awful lot of praying as a priest. We give thanks to God that you persevered and that you are another Christ. We also pray that you may be another St. Paul, that you may be a true apostle. On this feast day of St. Paul, we pray that you be a great missionary and that God will work through you to bring many souls to eternal life. Now is that time that God has given you to bring souls to heaven for all eternity. May he strengthen you and give you the great grace so that your harvest, your particular harvest, dear Father, may be great for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.